And good evening. This is Intuitive Soul Radio with your host, Lori Houston. We are honored this evening by having Dr. Williams here giving us a New Year's message. Dr. Williams is being channeled by Bart Schmidt. Last year, this was a controversial message that lasted the entire year on death of the ego. And this year, we're really excited to hear what 2009 is going to be about. 2009 is an 11 year. It's a master year. And, you know, a lot of things have happened in this past year, especially, where, you know, we saw a crisis in August, a financial crisis, and the fear of the people exasperated this into an economic crisis. Most recently, we've had the inauguration of Barack Obama, and Barack has really been all about bringing us hope. And also, we know that this is a year where the time is now, and it's no longer about waiting for different things to happen, but that we have to, you know, really begin our journey now. So welcome, Dr. Williams, and let's talk about what 2009 is all about.
We have an extraordinary man that has come into power, and this extraordinary man, in a sense, cannot fulfill everyone else's wishes, but is he a symbol of hope? He is a representation of whom we are within ourselves. Indeed, he is going to change the country, he's going to change the world. But in a sense, he can't do that. It is something that each individual, we have so much identified with our emotions. We have so much identified with our jobs. We have so much identified to our relationships. We have identified culturally, we have identified within our families. As individuals, we have continued being within a tribe, where all of a sudden people are beginning to think much more beyond just their chemical reality of their mind. They're actually beginning to get into touch with an awareness of their own rhythm, of their own soul, of their own needs, and yet it is all a new experience. It is a new adventure that we're actually breaking into. So is this a master year? It is a master year. It's interesting enough, Barack Obama, I think, has such an enormous affection upon our culture because he is not a stranger. So in a sense, he is an individual that has done tremendous good in our culture previously. One can certainly say that one can find, you know, certain characteristics within a person very pleasant. And you might say, oh, well, you know, there is a president that we all sort of enjoy. But for the world to actually come together, it literally means that we identify. We don't just identify with what he represents. We identify with him as a particular person. So regardless if somebody believes in reincarnation or understanding of reincarnation, here is a man that has embarked upon our journey before that we might not remember. But here is a man that has been Abraham Lincoln in another lifetime. So here we have a man who was white, whom is trying to slave or free the slaves from its drudgery. He's trying to help civilization by simply saying, you cannot impose slavery. You can't do this as a culture. This is not morally correct. This is degrading upon. So in a sense, we have done all kinds of things through centuries by justifying it because it was acceptable. We have identified with our culture, and we've identified with our government, we've identified with our parents, letting other people really sort of setting the trend or allowing us to say, gee, do I have my own thoughts? Do I believe in this? So people are thinking more independently. People are waking up. That is what a number 11 actually represents. So here we have Abraham Lincoln, regardless if people can actually fathom this or not, as a black man helping a white predominant world. Yes, we have Chinese, we've got many different cultures, but he is a man whom actually is back in his own country, whom at this particular point is trying to liberate our culture from the same injuries that we have placed upon ourselves. Now, needless to say, we're not talking about slavery, but have we as a culture become consumed by materialism? We are literally drowning in identities that don't really represent us, but we know no different. So materialism has drowned us. It has suffocated us. So we are in an economical downturn. Are we actually needing to look at the basis of what do I really want? Do I want this credit card debt or do I want to be free? Do I want to be walking on the beach or do I want to be stuck in this job for the rest of my life? Do I have enough money to retire or is this the environment in which I'm wanting to be in? All that people thought of was their pension. They did not think about the quality of their being, the quality of their mind, the quality of their lives, the quality of their beingness. They thought about one thing. Indeed, primitive survival of trying to get a constant paycheck that allows us to buy food is something that we've bought into, but could we not do much more, and should that not just be the foundation? Should we work for 50 years for a pension and at the end not really given it much thought about what am I thinking? Who am I? What am I doing? How have I changed my children's lives? How have I changed my culture? How have I changed my neighbor? Have I helped my neighbor? Have I helped a stranger? So in a sense, we are back to the basics, which in a sense, are we evolving beyond the limited self? And indeed, that is what is happening. So it is not because our ancestors were indifferent or weren't smart enough or weren't happy enough. In each generation, if we are lucky, we can evolve. Some generations deepen in a different direction, but we are at a point that we can actually stop and actually begin to process our own identity, our own relationship with God. So culturally, we have been able to only identify as a whole, or identify as a Catholic, or identify as a Muslim, or identified as a therapist, or identified as a worker, or identified as a carpenter. So we've actually reached this point of individuality where, yes, I'm a wife, yes, I'm a husband, yes, I'm a worker, yes, I'm an individual that certainly has these identities, but are we moving beyond the identity of the small self and actually beginning to develop the awareness and the consciousness of what we are needing to be in tune with our soul, what we're needing to evolve as an individual? This we could have at little glimpses through the last, let's say, 20 years, 25 years. But what is happening and what's happening in this year, that we actually have the words that begin to articulate what we might have not been able to articulate clearly enough. We are beginning to have an expansion within the heart that we might have only held for a moment, for an hour, for a minute. People have gone to workshops and they come home feeling truly within their rhythm, within their centeredness. But then they identify again with the person who has this job, the person who's the daughter of or the son of, or identifies with. And so what happens is that we fall back into the identity not of what we are. Our job does not define, being a mother does not only define whom we are, it is a part of whom we are. But individuals whom have taken courses or workshops or retreats or seminars or gone into therapy have had moments of what it is like to be in their authentic self, in their true self, the identity of the self, not the identity of all these other expectations that we fulfill truly maybe with a great heart, but they don't define us. Being a doctor does not define who we are. Being what we do for our work doesn't define. It is something in which we do. Being a husband is something in which we are, but it doesn't define. It is an aspect of whom we are, but it doesn't define what we are. And so culturally, we've been limited, and now this opening of consciousness is actually happening within the part of the brain, which is obviously called the reptile brain, which basically means there's a shift within the culture. Barack Obama is a part of that shift. If we look at the mantra that actually says, yes, we can, we're actually saying, predominantly as a white culture, saying, yes, we can. Why are we embracing this? Is this because we understand the imprisonment of what slaves have gone through? Absolutely. Is that because we have been slaves in other lifetimes? Some not. Many have been. Is that because we've actually imprisoned ourselves, thinking that we are free, seeking to have that pension, but not really developing more of our own emotions, our own identity, our own needs, looking at, do I want to pay off my mortgage? Or do I want to walk along the beach and pay off my mortgage and raise my grandchildren in a different environment? So we are beginning to think beyond what our options that the banks have given us or our stockbrokers have given us or what we can imagine. So we understand that we are a culture that has created a self-imprisonment. And as odd as that sounds, America and Canada is a pretty liberated country. So in a sense, we are in deeply privileged. Most of the world operate on $1 or $2 a day. So in reality, most people are still imprisoned. But have we not imprisoned ourselves? Are we not in a world that we've suffocated ourselves and actually created fewer choices instead of greater choices? Is our world a better place? Well, indeed, we have toilets, and indeed, we have automobiles, but have we actually become a country and a society that have actually self-imprisoned ourselves by giving this power to governments and giving ourselves to fuel and to total strangers and strange countries that control our fuel and heat our homes because we are dependent on the source? So in a sense, we look that we have evolved as a culture, and actually, we have now derived at a point by simply saying, all right, we've evolved as a culture, but we've also become dependable. We've become addicted to our emotions. We've become addicted to oil. We've become addicted to our identity. We've become addicted to our culture. We've become addicted to many different things. How do we free ourselves? So we are actually at a particular point that we have cornered culturally ourselves in a system that has never worked, but has made a lot of people very powerful, very rich, never questioned these powers or governments or companies, and we're gradually beginning to say, you know what, I really would like to be independent. I really would like to have solar panels. I really would like to have renewable energy. Is this about the power of an oil company, or is this about our individual desire to evolve consciously beyond a system that imprisons us? Now, are we privileged that we have running water and that we have a toilet and all these different things? Indeed, but it's not about a toilet. It is about evolving. So here we've got a man, that is Barack Obama, that actually says, yes, we can. And that yes, we can is about what kind of retirement am I looking for? Yes, we can is about, do I need to create my own company? Yes, we can is there a purpose beyond to what I have not been able to see? Could I actually become greatly much happier? Could I create much more of an impact upon my world than I might have not thought? Am I actually beginning to look outside the box and beyond what my mind might have not seen before? So very much like one's supposed to say, if we've never seen something before, our brain might not be able to see it. So similarly, as individuals, these great shamans that stand upon the edge of the water and they see ripples upon the water, but they can't see the ship because this tribe has never seen a ship. They can't imagine a ship. So in a sense, similarly, as a culture, we are breaking beyond the limited boundaries we've created for ourselves. So a master number is about, what have I not been able to identify within myself? Have I only had moments where I've gone to a retreat, where I've gone to a workshop, where I've gone and had a weekend of great glory with my family, but felt I was back in the mundane several days later. Does that mean that consciousness is shifting within our human culture? Are we actually tuning in to a greater purpose of our beingness, and that we have become this culture that has been consumed by many different things, but we have stepped away from the true sense of I am the child of God, and I am so much more powerful than oil or gas or consumption or everything that I actually have traded my connection to my soul to convenience? Could I have convenience and yet still be divinely in tune with my soul? So people are beginning to have these experiences where they can hold a greater peace and a greater moment of gratitude, a greater moment of union with the inner self, a greater moment of the inner self, the identification of the inner self. So this year is actually what I often speak about, is the tapestry of consciousness, weaving and having the ability to sustain a deeper sense of our inner self, a deeper sense of our soul. The inner self is our soul, a deeper sense of connection with ourselves and God, and that we move beyond what we have only been able to see. We identify with, yes, we can, for many of reasons. One, because we've self-imprisoned ourselves. We understand it's time for liberation. So on an unconscious level, we are identifying, can I free myself? Can I move beyond the limited self? Yes, I can. Have I suffered in other lifetimes, and have I bought into a form of depression, suppression in other lifetimes? Indeed. So we have experienced a form of depression and a form of suppression and a form of, I do not know what I want, for a very long time. It's a part of the human culture. We don't know what we want. We felt suppressed. To some degree, we don't know what that is. We don't know how to define it, but we felt suppressed. We don't know where, who, what, when, but there is a sense of suppression. We've not been fully satisfied. We can say we're happy, but we've not been satisfied. We felt a sense of depression coming and going. It's a part of a culture, and particularly over the last 3 years. So the last 3 years, people have been actively working on moving into a greater space of awareness, but have not been able to sustain this awareness, and now are beginning to move into the ability to sustain. It's like holding a note. We are beginning to move out of suppression, depression, and being able to gradually step out of the small self. So when one hears the wording, yes, we can, we're actually identifying with, I've spent too many lives and too many incarnations, all chipping away, all working toward a greater purpose. Some people call this the rising of Atlantis, and not actually the physical, the rising of Atlantis, but the rising of consciousness. It is where we are shifting out of one part of our brain that we've only utilized, and it's a part of the reptile brain that we've only accessed, and we've not actually accessed the entirety. So as a culture, we could say that we are in a human being that operate maybe 10% consciously, and the rest of the time, we don't know what we want, we don't know what we're doing, but we think we do, and the other 10% is all that we're actually utilizing. So am I actually articulating that the change in consciousness of our cognitive behavior is actually changing? Absolutely. So I spent, you know, a year struggling over here trying to figure out what I want, or I spent a year over here what I want in my career, and I spent a year. So it isn't because all these little things matter. It means that we've been exploring. As a culture, as human beings, we keep defining, no, that's not what I want. We don't know what we want, but we've been defining. And some things have clicked and said, oh yeah, I do want that. So we've been, like an archaeologist, we've been digging and exploring. But of course, in our minds, it doesn't always make sense, because the tapestry doesn't come together. So 2009 is where all these little adventures that we've had in the last 10, 20, 30 years that we've been exploring, but we don't know why we've been digging in the garden, but we're finally putting all the pieces together because our brain can finally have the vision of putting these pieces together. So 2009 is about beginning to see why we did what we did, the purpose of why did that marriage end, or why did that job end so aggressively, or why did I feel, you know, certainly felt such deep love for this person, but I don't know how to capture that back, or why did I move from that house to this location? So in a sense, 2009 is, one could say, is we're getting off this treadmill where we're just like going through a movie, watching everything bypassing us, and actually slowing down the movies that we can see things frame by frame and beginning to put the tapestries or the frame by frame together and beginning to make sense instead of this constant loop that keeps going around. We're actually, I suppose one could say, are beginning to question each picture that creates the movie, because we actually have the awareness and the beginning to develop the cognitive awareness of slowing down and seeing the movie over the last 10, 20 years and beginning to make sense out of who are we, where are we going, and what am I doing? So I need to drink some tea at this particular point. I've been ranting on here.
Okay, so we're in this year, and it's definitely about change, and we're definitely, last year was about the death of the ego, and the energy of this year definitely feels different.
Correct.
than last year. But there are still a lot of people that are having, you know, tragedies happening, certainly
Correct.
In the financial district,
Correct.
As well as, you know, all sorts of different things. We did have a personal question with regards to, you know, a personal tragedy.
Mm-hmm.
And so people are really trying to understand, is this something that is going to continue until we get to the year 2012? I mean, is this part of it?
It's all the weaving. This is actually, one could certainly say that the engine started. So 2012 isn't about disaster. It's about consciousness. It's about liberation. It's about freeing ourselves. If I can only see by what my brain has been trained to see, that's all I'm going to see. If I can't see outside the box. So let's say that I have been a very unhappy person over the last, it doesn't really matter, let's say 3 years. No matter what I try to do over the last 3 years, I would have been able to chip away at the unhappiness, but it was a journey. I wasn't going to snap out of it. That was just a cycle. It was the death of the ego, no matter what we did. So the last several years, we've been chipping away at it. This year is about, I need to change my attitude. So what do I need to look at this differently? So does that mean my depression is going to go, or my attitude is going to go? Or am I going to see a bigger opportunity of what my attitude is about? So am I going to see myself in the movie as the witness? That is what's happening in the brain. So that's going to take a little bit of time. That's why it goes all the way down to 2012. So if we don't see frame by frame, we don't witness the self. We just see one continuous movement of behavior, and we could behave exactly the same. So what am I saying? It means that we've been going through an emotion or life or an experience that has been difficult. And we haven't seen the greater picture or the greater purpose or the greater meaning or the comprehension, or let's say we haven't had the entire vision. Let's say that we've only been seeing with 50% vision. And now all of a sudden the veil is going to lift. And we're going to be able to see through both eyes, not one set of eyes. And that sounds strange. So that literally means we need to retrain ourselves. We're actually needing to question everything that we've questioned before. Doesn't sound that gratifying, but that's the reality. So you all see what you see and believe because you all are connected to your upbringing, to your culture, and to the tribe. So does that mean we're actually still going to be part of the tribe, but we're actually going to be much more individually connected to ourselves and our inner selves and what God and how God speaks to us individually? That if collectively we're all submerged in each other, which is what's been happening for centuries, that we cannot really express or define or understand our relationship with God because we have a fear of abandonment and rejection. And in a sense, we keep reacting and playing out this issue of rejection and abandonment we've had with God. Indeed. So does that mean we were beginning to understand our relationship and stepping out of abandonment? Because we can understand the purpose of why we've been experiencing the same thing? If my issue is abandonment, and I have been abandonment over and over, or depression, or unhappiness, it doesn't really matter. I'm needing to come to terms and look at the bigger picture of, does this mean my relationship with myself has been not so gratifying? Which means, am I looking at fear constantly? So let's say that I'm a person was always afraid of change. I cannot accept change. And I am a person whom rides the adrenaline of that fear. Is that because I'm addicted? Well, that's part of it. So part of 2008 was really about overcoming the addictions, overcoming the ego, overcoming the addiction, being addicted to emotions, being addicted to these experiences. But am I actually now being able to move beyond this and actually see that this is really my relationship with God? That in actuality, I don't trust myself. I don't trust God. In actuality, I've never trusted myself. And I've actually been able to get unplugged just from the fear factor and of it all. It's like depression. You and each human being are this divine being. But if we live in such ordinary ways, and we are not truly, constantly in a place of meditation, we are not kind to ourselves. We are not respectful of our inner sanctuary. We are constantly racing. We are constantly keeping up. We're constantly on that treadmill. Then we are not being greatly respectful towards ourselves. And we've lost the connection with nature, the meaning of life. Now, does that mean every person that is depressed? No. But is that what this is about? That we can actually begin to be and have this awareness of nature and reconnect with the source of God and reconnect with the meaning of this moment? Everyone says be in the now. Mm-hmm. Well, that's great, but what about being in this moment? Because now has a time factor. Being in this moment has no time factor. So we are human beings that ride the adrenaline of time, of emotions, and addictions. This is what we're stepping out of. So let's imagine that we're stepping out of time, addictions, and emotions. And now we're finding our way in how to be. Just be in this moment. Not just in the now, because now has a time factor. It's another way in which we can ride this adrenaline. So we are programmed to ride adrenaline. And now we're actually developing, or you could say there is an opening, or you could say that we are beginning to develop the awareness, or you could say that there is an expansion, or you could say that we're beginning to have a vision through both of our eyes. We're beginning to lift the veil. And as a person that has not experienced happiness because I've not treated myself with great respect and with great honor, and that I have been on a rat race, or I've been addicted to depression or unhappiness or I've been imprisoning myself with my depression, and that I can actually see the meaning of what this depression has been about. And this depression is about my relationship with myself. Mm-hmm. And if I have been angry, and I am so afraid of change, I'm angry at myself because I cannot accept change. So does it mean that all these lifetimes, one after another after, are all compressing and coming together? So if I deal with my anger and I am afraid of change, That I'm not dealing with change only in this moment. I am dealing with change and the karmic ramifications of this of every lifetime. So does this mean that other lifetimes in which we've been chipping away at bits and pieces like a tapestry? Indeed. Does that mean we're at a time within our culture between 2009 and 2012 where we can actually not only affect our behavior and create change within this moment right now, but are we like a domino effect actually affecting all these lifetimes that are affecting us right now, but we've not been able to actually chip away at it or unify them or create closure? As strange as that sounds, the answer is yes. The door is opening where the commitment we are making towards ourselves, or the lack of, or basically one could say we're developing the consciousness, we are seeing beyond our behavior, we are understanding that the mind isn't our identity, and that we've been chipping away and actually beginning to reunite with our soul, not just with our mind or defining or identifying with our mind. We're actually connecting to our soul and not knowing what that is, but getting a feeling of it, or we're getting a deeper sense, a deeper yearning or longing for it than ever before. Why? Because we've been singing this opera for so many lifetimes that as a culture, we are stepping out of this cave mentality or this primitive behavior of self-imprisonment and acting out our abandonment issues with God, which is really towards ourselves. Are we actually able to sing that opera continuously, individually, but collectively? But we don't need to do it as a culture, as a tribe, but we can do it as our own song to ourselves, to God, for instance? The answer is yes. So we're actually breaking out of the imprisonment that religion, culture, government, we have bought into concepts of if we have this home and this mortgage and this water and this heat and these emotions and these, we have associated and identified with belongings and emotions and possessions that we have been told would make us happy. And indeed, everyone is very privileged in the United States and Canada, and there are, again, starving millions of people. But are we actually realizing that we're actually damaging ourselves and our culture and damaging our own soul, that we are needing to progress beyond this limited concept? And this is the door that is actually opening in 2009. So, if I need to practice kindness because I've not been so kind, then let kindness be your mantra. Because it is training ourselves to see beyond what we cannot see ordinarily.
Yeah, I guess that's kind of what's been happening, though, because I think a lot of people are realizing, maybe becoming more aware, maybe for the first time, certain states that they have been in. And I think people are starting to become more real, like in that they have to address these states and saying, hey. And I think, you know, there are questions that come up, you know, well, what if we didn't eliminate the ego in 2008? And if this is the year of, you know, you have to do it now, like there is no more waiting till this and this and this and this come into place before you start making change. This is the year. We have to start doing this. And what if we don't have the courage? What if we, you know, does this mean that if we don't get it and don't get it started this year, that, you know, something's going to happen? We're going to be stuck for the rest of our lives?
You know, when pretty well, if that's what you're going to, good luck. Call me when you get there to the other side. There are people that get off a sinking ship more quickly because they understand the ship is sinking. So when you get off the ship, could be tomorrow, could be 20 years from now. Culturally, you have no choice because it's the culture that is changing, and that's what's so powerful. So with other words, if you look at people that have been growing and evolving, that has not been the majority, that's been the minority. But it is the minority no longer. It is the majority, which is the 100th monkey effect. Mm-hmm. That's what makes this timing so profound. People in America have been accepting their presidents. There has never been the majority, regardless if people believe this or not, 75% of Americans disagreed and were appalled by their leader. That is more than the majority. That is more than 50%. During the election of Barack Obama, this man had 75% of the country completely looking for change. So obviously they have their political rallies and their presidency and finding out who is going to be the next president. But if you look through these elections, they would make you believe that it was a very close race constantly. But the reality is that 75%, closer to 80% of America, wants change. That is not just America, that is Canada, that is Zimbabwe, that is aspects of India, that is China. The world is wanting change. Teach us what we do not know. Move beyond the world we've created for ourselves. So are we talking about culturally? It is like simply saying, you know, I don't want to become a Catholic anymore. Centuries ago, you would be hung at the town square. Now, they call them recovering Catholics. If you want to be Buddhist, you want to become a nun, you can do whatever you want. So we are no longer, in a sense, caught up in this cultural discrimination of what is socially correct, still to some degree, but it's slipping away because we are beginning to return to the inner self. So when Barack Obama ran for election, there was a shift that took place. I would say that the parties that were running pretty well knew that he was going to win. But they also wanted and understood that he would change how religion, which sounds very odd to hear, would change. How the governments in America, including Canada. Canada's politics are a mess. Why? Because of the United States. It's called the 100th monkey effect. And so basically, it's a very long story, but if you teach one monkey how to dunk the fruit into the water, you will find that the next one mimic and will mimic, and all of a sudden, after 99 monkeys, you'll find out that the next country all of a sudden begins to dunk, you know, the monkeys there begin to dunk. It's just quantum physics. So in a sense, is Canada going through masses of changes? Oh, watch your politics, I will tell you. It is automatically, it has no choice but to change. The world is no longer in a place where it can just cover up because the collective is changing. And so where if politicians have two parties that are opposite of each other, which is how we live, opposite to what we want, opposite to what we're doing for a living, what we really want and what we have to do. It's similar to politics. It's how we are it's how we behave. It's all mirrors of each other, how we behave. This is all quantum physics. So you might think that your politicians or your politics are very different than how you live, but it is the similar behavior. We don't really do what we want to do because we really don't know what we want. Well, we do it because we have to. It's like two parties and two different parties of a government. Barack Obama is going to take opposite parties and engage them.
Yeah.
You can only create war and fear and anxiety when you keep two parties, two parents, two tribal members, and create chaos that ripples into a culture where everyone doesn't know what they want, what they need, or how to become self-sustainable. Barack Obama is going to take people and unite them of opposite parties, of white, of black. He is going to actually change the way we have done our politics and how we have tolerated war within ourselves, war within our neighbor, war within our marriage. It's how we've acted out. We've culturally set up a system from how we behave through politics, because politics and religion was our model and our social identity. And Barack Obama understands that if we can change our social identity through religion, and this will follow, I would say, religion as well, and our politics, then people will start creating a different world, a new world, the rising of Atlantis. As strange as that sounds, it is the awakening of individual choice, of it no longer is okay to do the job that I don't want to do, but I do it because I have to do it, but I don't know what I want. Because if enough people question the same thing, and it is okay to go beyond the infrastructure of what has been set in place, then people will begin to find individual answers to what they do want. Because we're not supposed to know what we want. We're not supposed to be happy. We're not supposed to know where we're going, because that's the entire trick of politics. And so if a leader can change this reality and give the people who follow, or a culture, its opportunity for change, then we can look beyond this veil of illusion that we have not given to ourselves.
Wow. So quite a change that we're going through.
Just a little bit.
A little bit, yes. So what are the tools then that we need to be ready for this time? I mean, I know meditation is always a big
Absolutely.
One.
Absolutely. Get an attitude adjustment. I suppose, absolutely, meditation. And there is no doubt, and I'm certainly not going to back up from that one. This is the time, and it's interesting, of burning karma, and it sounds really odd, but it literally means we can actually address it. And people get very fed up, because I certainly say that, you know, similarly over and over. They're so tired of not knowing, or tired of depression, or tired of being stuck or feeling stuck. And indeed, these are cycles that we go through. And yes, if you're weaving a tapestry and you just don't feel the gratification, you know, that was just what needed to be done. We needed to do the work. We needed to do the work over the last several years, even if your ego did not see the gratification, which is sort of interesting.
Mm-hmm.
But this is a year where shift is going to take place. And so we need to have a deeper compassion towards ourselves. We need to treat ourselves with greater kindness, with greater compassion, with greater dignity than we've ever done before. How many people are actually divinely kind towards themselves? How many times are you just in the funk? How many times are you whatever? How many times, get out of the way as you're driving? How many times, I don't know what I want? These are not kind thoughts. This is kindness towards yourself. How kind are you towards you? Forget about to other people. So this is a time that we need to practice the discipline of kindness, self-honor, and self-respect, and self-dignity. And it is also where we need to display these, whoops, towards others. I think I just about chewed that microphone. And so that as an individual, we can actually not only be kind towards a stranger, but we just cannot find or muster up the strength to be kind towards our mother. If your mother is a kind woman, if your mother is a lunatic, if your mother is off her rocker, if your mother is a narcissistic, if your mother is self-centered or self-absorbed, whatever the pain is to let that pain not be yours. A person that is narcissistic, self-absorbed, has no motherly instinct, and I'm not really picking on parents or mothers. That's not what the point is. If your boss is a real jerk, and he's got his head stuck up his own ass, then I would have sympathy that he wants to have that head up his own ass. Because I would not want to walk around this lifetime like a turkey with his head up his own butt. So people that cannot display kindness, people that self-injure themselves, show them compassion. Doesn't mean that you need to absorb or let that in. See that that person has chosen this lifetime of such injury. Somebody cannot injure you. You can only injure yourself. Look beyond the obvious. If somebody cuts you off and calls you God knows what and gives you the finger as you're driving down the road, imagine the self-loathing that that person must have towards themselves to try to injure you or engage you. So we have been so much looking at emotions and behavior instead of self-injury. So what are the things that we need to look at? How people behave in front of us. How they injure themselves. And we've just analyzed this so incorrectly. Because we look upon them and take it so personally, because my mother is not capable of A, B, C, D, and E, instead of saying, my God, this woman has chosen this life of such loneliness, of such empty vessel, and I feel so rejected and abandoned, but Lord only knows why she would even want to choose that reality. So with great respect and with great honor, I send her on her way, and I will just love her, but I don't need anything, because I am no longer needing to work out this abandonment issue with my mother or my boss or with anybody else. I need to stop projecting this abandonment towards everyone and start taking onuses. It is a way in which I can stop evolving. If I blame everyone, if I blame my mother, my father, my job, my unhappiness, I am simply injuring myself and not honoring that I am needing to love myself. So look at how you are injuring yourself. And that there are people that are injuring them that we just way too much take on this chemical warfare that they want us to take on instead of seeing them, what a broken human being. It's not judging. It's just simply saying, this person is so deeply broken. They need to be so enraged that I've taken on that this person doesn't care about me or don't love me. I need to see the truth and stop identifying that we are a tribe. I am a child of God. I'm in union with God. I do not need to identify with everyone around me. Indeed, I can. It's a part of me. We identify with our husbands. We identify with our wives. We identify with our children. But we're needing to identify with God. We need to love ourselves. And so what are we needing to look at? How do I love myself? And in how many ways am I not loving myself? Because I don't know what I want, or I don't know where I'm going, or I'm not happy in this, I'm not happy in that, because we've lost the art of loving ourselves, or that strangers or people that we feel so violated by or so injured by, that they are so in violation towards themselves, how could we possibly take them seriously or injure ourselves because they loathe themselves? Human beings haven't loved themselves. They have loathed themselves. They have injured themselves. Look at loving those you might have not been able to forgive. Look at those outside the box. They might be your parent or your mother or your sister or your aunt or your uncle or your boss or your life. These are all aspects of you which might have not made sense a year ago. But you can now look upon them all, that there are ways that if I can see beyond this, I don't need to continuously feel rejected or abandoned or injured myself because they are. So we are a wounded culture that keeps wounding ourselves by our own unhappiness and each other because we keep identifying instead of maybe I need to love myself, maybe I need to honor myself, maybe I need to honor God is within me, God dwells within me, and I need to honor this God, this inner self within me and honor and adore. Do you love yourself? Not egotistically, do you love yourself and honor yourself more than your fear of change? Do you love yourself more than your depression or you not knowing what you're wanting? If you don't know what you want, then start honoring yourself. Start getting in tune with your soul. And when you get in tune with your soul, when you begin to get in love, this union with yourself, the meaning of your life, the purpose of your life will begin to reveal itself. But if you're trying to make sense intellectually through intellectual thought to overcome your fears or your emotions or your addictions, I'm not dismissing therapy, I'm not dismissing psychotherapy, I'm not dismissing any of that. I'm purely speaking as a culture. Stop identifying and associating what you don't have or what you don't want or what you don't need, the self-injury of yourself, and really focus on the heart, because 2009 is about the awakening of the heart, the awakening of the individual self, our union with God. It is the rebirthing of ourselves. It is the rebirthing of the recognizing that we are a divine being, that God dwells within me, as me, for me, as I am God. And I am a divine human being. And if I open and concentrate not on what I want or what does not work or what dissatisfied me or where am I going or what am I doing, and concentrate not on this by self-injury, but really focusing on the heart, you will burn the karma and liberate yourself and set yourself free.
Wow. So you're talking more than just a perception change. You're talking about, you know, really understanding what it means to have God within you.
Right. It is the awakening. You know, Brahma is a symbolization or a symbolize of our relationship with God. Our culture is changing because here is a man that says no more drama. But 2008 was about drama. It was about the death of the ego. Oh my God, I don't want to. Here is a man whom is going to be difficult to shake because he understands if I change my parties, if I change my politicians, if I change my parties, if I change how politics is done, if I change no more drama, if I change how we react as a culture, we can evolve and change. He understands. Is he really speaking about, and I do not know if everybody really understands this, the awakening of these subtle bodies? We've been more interested and more attached to our physical body and what we're thinking, and we've not placed the same value or understanding or comprehension on our subtle bodies. our light body, our physical, or our light bodies, our emotional body. If you look at the last several years, or certainly in the last 6 months, people are simply saying, you know what, this doesn't feel, something is wrong. You know what, this doesn't feel right. Let me think about this for a while. People are being more honest. People are being more in tune. They might not know what they're doing, where they're going, or what they're needing to do, but they're simply saying, enough. That's not right. I don't want this. They don't know who, what, when, but they know within the core of their being, they're listening truly to themselves, where not listening to yourselves was all right for centuries. Now, we're actually listening. We cannot but listen. So is that the awakening of the subtle body? Absolutely. Does that mean that our subtle body, that when we leave this subtle body, this physical body dies, but the subtle bodies can actually move to other dimensions and other realms as we die? Totally. We are not just listening to the physical or the mind. Are we moving finally beyond the mind and the physical body? Yes, that's what 2009 is. But that's also why we've been so angry and upset. And I don't know what I want. And I don't want to, because we've been holding on to the addiction of our physical body and what we've known for so many lifetimes, that it is easier to be attached to the physical body and stay attached to the mind and our emotions than being connected to the subtle body, which is the spiritual body, let's say. Because that goes from lifetime to lifetime to lifetime. The physical body dies, but the subtle bodies actually continue. So it's like simply saying we lose this skin and we lose this bone, but we have this illuminosity of a body that emanates and pulsates, that actually hosts the seed of the soul. So when we die, the entire blue pearl, or the seed of the soul, takes the entire subtle body and takes that. And when we incarnate, that seed of the soul enters into the body along with all the subtle bodies, and whoosh, and that's where we get cellular memory from. So when we go into a particular lifetime of, gee, I don't know what I want, or I'm angry, I'm upset, because it all sits within these subtle bodies from lifetime to lifetime. So indeed, we as a culture are making more than just a shift. We are understanding by not paying attention to ourselves no longer works. By not knowing what we're going or what we're doing, or what we just know, it doesn't jive. Or, you know what, I need to end this relationship. Or, you know, it's come to an end. I don't know why, but we are satisfied with not having the entire picture laid out, which is what the ego says, give me a reason, give me the purpose, give me the meaning. But of course, the soul gives us an indication. The soul does not define it all in fireworks and in endless color. It only senses us and sends us in a sense or a direction. Previously, a lot of people basically just did this by the seat of their pants. And of course, never really created a proper foundation because they really didn't have the sophistication. So people were desperately spiritually ungrounded and lost. Then we became so much evolved and attached to our mind and our emotions that became sort of predominant for a very long time. And now we can have our thoughts and look upon our mind more as a canvas, and that these emotions define what we're experiencing, but it's just a canvas, and says, aha, so that's the purpose and that's the reason. But we can also actually say, so what's the bigger picture? What am I feeling about this? I might not know the whole picture, but at least I get a partial, partisan perception of why. But I might not get everything else. I might just get a fraction, and I'm okay with that. The ego was never okay with that one seat of insight. It wanted the dismissal of that seat. Now we're realizing that if I take that one seed, that one insight, and I just nurture it, meaning that I'm just just watching it. I don't need to be reactive. I don't need to change my life. I'm a witness of something is shifting. I'm not quite sure what. And I'm actually going to give myself patience to let that seed sprout and it turn into an orchard. And then I'm going to know what I'm going to want. So this is where the shift is happening in 2009. People are aware that they can no longer but listen to themselves. People are stepping out of their drama and their action and their reactiveness. They're planting and watching something give birth, either a concept or emotion. They don't know who, what, when, or where, but they're trusting themselves for the first time, which means they're trusting their own soul for the first time. And over the next day, two, three, whatever, it's going to unfold and it's going to give us meaning and go, aha, so that's the reason why. Which means the soul does not speak in language, but the soul speaks in feelings. Not in emotions, in feelings, in senses, not emotions. Not where emotions derive out of neural pathways and the hypothalamus of the brain that creates emotions. Emotions are derived out of a chemical reality or chemical reaction in the brain. Sensories or senses go beyond the chemical reality of our identity or the chemical reality of emotions and actually gives us a sensories that goes beyond our visual or auditory sensories and gives us a sense of not knowing who, what, when, or where, but we will trust it because it will reveal itself. And we now have we're grown up enough. And one could say that we are moving beyond the spiritual adolescence of abandonment and that we are moving into a space that we can give ourselves the space because there is an emotion that says A, B, C, D, or E. There's a sensory. That sensory is not driven by time or I need it now. It doesn't run on the adrenaline of time as emotions do. And so I might get my answer in an hour or two. I have the patience because I just need to let that void, that seed, give me direction and it will give me a further explanation.
Wow.
There are a lot of people whose lives are changing and they're angry because they are no longer in their job. Because it is something in which they've identified with. So in other words, I identify with this particular job and I have this particular job because it's been a part of my identity. But they don't know what they want. And so this is what 2009 is really about. Okay, so I need to stop being angry because I don't like my job. And I need to shift from my adolescent behavior spiritually and say, all right, I'm time for me to start putting my best foot forward. Don't know where I'm going. But if I get a sense that I need to move 2 feet forward, I will do that today. And if I feel like, okay, there's nothing happening, I will trust my soul. I will trust this process. Because spiritual adolescence or being angry all the time, people have hardship all the time. And people don't understand always the purpose of things. We can have an ending of a relationship. And so we define with that relationship. People have children with disabilities. And we take upon this upon ourselves. Instead of saying, what is there to teach us? What am I needing to learn? Am I needing to learn to move beyond my helplessness? Am I needing to learn to give even though I need to be able to love that child? I need that child to know that I'm there and I cannot reach that child because that child has an illness. Or so there are all these lessons that we're constantly being given. And we look upon these things as I am in control. I'm controlling. I need to make things right. I need to be the mother who protects that child. Or I need to be the father who keeps that job. So we keep injuring ourselves instead of what is the bigger picture? And so where before we could say, I lost that job because my boss was a jerk or wasn't meant to be, now we're needing to say, where am I going to feel in union with God, with my life? Where can I feel that balance? And that is such a more difficult question or ability to create than just getting a job, because anybody can get a job. So it's not about jobs that I'm talking about. It's about identification. It's where we identify. We're no longer interested in jobs. We're beginning, and it's really not about jobs. It's really about defining with ourselves. It isn't about a job. It's defining whom we are. Who am I?
Wow. Well, we're running out of time.
I hear that.
Yeah. But wow, this has been a very fascinating conversation.
Very
I don't want
good.
It to end. I guess I just want to sum it up in that it sounds like you're saying that, you know, we need to have faith in our inner God.
Right.
And that's where we're moving towards, and that when we do start to recognize some of the states that we've been in and the states that we're in, and being able to see that from a witness point of view, that's really starting to allow us to understand who we are, who we've been, so that we can start to love ourselves and to really connect in with...
No longer injure ourselves.
Yeah.
No longer allow other people who injure themselves to injure us. Go beyond what is the obvious. Go beyond that we don't see. It's always very difficult because we need to have this anger or this adolescence or this blame or this identification. Move beyond these limited concepts.
Yeah. Wow. Well, I hope everybody's going to be joining us for the pathway this weekend, because I think maybe you'll be continuing this.
I am going to move beyond to where we have just discovered.
Yeah.
All right.
Perfect.
Thank you very much.
And thank you.
All right.